You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. We study the Word in order to apply and obey what it says. Explore this truth in week 8 of our series, Worldview.
All right, morning everyone. Good morning. Can you just please greet your city for a while, a warm good morning. Today we are on the last installment of our series called Worldview. We're finally landing this series. So I mean, you can honestly say that this series has been a blessing to you. We've been through this for 7 long weeks, and we looked at several things. Martin accomplished powerfully here the past couple of Sundays, and we appreciate them for doing so. When we started this series, we've talked about devotion. We've talked about us meditating on God's Word. And on the second week of this series, we've talked about the necessity for God's Word. That we said that as believers, as Christians, we badly need God's Word every single day of our lives. And in the third week, we've talked about the inspiration. We've looked into 1 Timothy and we said that every single word that you get to read in the Bible is breathed out by God. And I think that is very clear. And on the fourth week, we've talked about the infallibility and the inerrancy of God's Word. And on the fifth week, we've looked into the sufficiency of God's Word. We said, you know, God's Word is sufficient for every single issues, doubts, or questions that we may have in our lives. The Bible always has an answer for that. And last week, we've talked about the clarity of the Scripture. Now today, as we are about to land this series, okay, let me just pull out this question for a while upon understanding all of those things. And with everything that we have tackled so far, okay, we're going to answer one simple question here today, and that is this question: what now? Meaning to say, all that we've talked about, we're going to streamline them here this morning into us applying God's Word. And enable for us to do that, we're going to look into the book of James. And just a brief background, James is the brother of Jesus. He was a pastor of a church. And when he was writing his letter, it wasn't addressed to just one church. It was addressed to many churches, for that matter. Simply because we all understand that during his time, when he was writing this, the Jewish Christians have experienced a diaspora, meaning that they got dispersed into the different places coming from Jerusalem simply because of persecution. And of course, we know that one of those persecutors is a man called Saul of Tarsus, which we understood become one of the prolific apostles that we've had in the Christian movement, which is Paul himself. Now, whenever we start talking about the book of James, I want us to understand that the book of James is a book that talks about practical righteousness. Tell that to your seatmate for a while, practical righteousness. What makes it different is because if you look at the word practical right there, it's coming from the root word, which is practice. So meaning to say, there's a lot of James wanting us to get a move on when you start reading the book of James. It talks about the practicality of every single thing that we're doing as Christians. That is his command for the Jewish people, the Jewish Christians who got dispersed in different places. And it's the same thing for every single one of us here today. When he said practice, it's basically talking about us applying God's Word. That is basically what we're going to talk about here today. But whenever we talk about practical righteousness, it is not just found in the book of James. If you look at the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, the first 3 chapters there in the book of Ephesians talks about doctrinal teachings. When you say doctrinal teachings, it's talking about the different doctrines of the Christian faith that Paul clearly laid out what salvation is. The first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians talk about doctrinal teachings, but the last 3 chapters talks about practical application of it. The book of Colossians talks about doctrinal teachings as well, and the last 2 chapters basically talk about practical application. The book of Romans, in the same way, is also like that. If you start from Romans chapter 1 down to Romans chapter 12, it talks about doctrinal teaching, establishing every single thing that we need to understand to build up our faith. But starting from chapter 12, verse 1, it starts talking about application. So you kind of get the picture here today that we're going to talk about application. And for us to understand that, we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25 here today. You can turn with me for a while to James chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. Allow me to read this for everyone. It says here, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Then it says here, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, He will be blessed in His doing. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 21 down to 25. We're going to try to open this up and sort this out for all of us verse by verse. And I want to start with verse 21, and then we'll just comb through the four verses afterwards. It says here, look at this one. James starts writing to the Jewish Christians. Here's what he says. Therefore, you folks understand what it means when you say therefore. It's a concluding statement. And take note, like what I said a while ago, if you look at the book of Ephesians, it first establishes a lot of doctrinal teachings on the first three chapters. And the last three chapters talks about practical application. But if you look at this one, in James chapter 1, it's a chapter 1 pa lang po. James wants us to get a move on something already. It says here, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Take note of the word rampant right there. It doesn't just say wickedness. It says rampant wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. I want us to look at this for a while. It says here that we are to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. That's in verse 21 right there. Now look, in order for us to understand verse 21, Archie, what does it mean that when James starts writing, receive with meekness the implanted word? Now for us to understand verse 21, we'll have to backtrack a little bit to verse 18 of the same book, James chapter 1. And here it is. It says here in James chapter 1, verse 18, just keep this, receive with meekness the implanted word in your mind. In verse 18, it says here, look at this one. Of God's own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits to all His creatures. Now, how do we try to unpack this here today? Look at this one. It says here, of His own will, God's own will, that's actually the doctrine of election. It says here, He brought us forth by the word of truth. When you look at the words brought us forth, it gives us an idea or a picture that it is us being birthed or being born. So every time we encounter the word, He brought us forth, at least in this context, it gives us a picture that this is all of us being regenerated, which is an initiative by God alone. Are folks getting this? We being brought forth, meaning say we are being birthed or being born. That is why the Bible tells us that we are born again or birthed again. It is not something that you write on your bio data. It is something that we experience. It is something that happens to us. That is what it means that the Word of God has been implanted in us. Then look at this one. What was the method at which we were brought forth or got birthed or born? It says here, by the Word of truth. Okay? By the Word of truth. Meaning to say, when you look at the Word of truth right there, it's talking about the gospel of grace found in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, James chapter 1 verse 18 is teaching every single one of us here today that the reason why we are able to come here every single Sunday and worship Him for who He is because the gospel was preached to us. And because of the preaching of the gospel, we receive the preaching of the gospel, something happens in our spirit, we were birthed again for that matter. God basically brought us forth. Now, the opposite of that, I want you to understand that this is an initiative that is initiated by God, and He is the one who can accomplish this for every single one of us. This is not us doing something for God to earn this. Amen? Now, the opposite of that is found in John chapter 8, verse 27. But before I go there, I want you to understand, I will go to John chapter 8, verse 27 quickly, simply because these were the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the resemblance to that? Pagpapakinggan niyo po si James, may pagkatonong Jesus. Why? Because they were brothers. There are similarities or resemblance with their something with their actions, with how they speak, the words that they use. So it's kind of like similar with the Lord Jesus Christ and James. And it says here, look at this one. Here's Jesus talking to what? Try to guess for a while. He has an audience here, and his audience here are not the poor people or the people that are oppressed or the widows. His audience here are the Pharisees. When I say Pharisees, I'm talking about people who know the scripture. Here's what Jesus said regarding them. You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. You Pharisees, you seek to kill me. You're good with the law, but you want to kill me simply because my word finds no home in your heart. What does it mean? Look at this one. The Pharisees, they knew the scripture better than anyone during their time, but the word of God find no place in them. Folks, look at this one. I said a while ago that us being birthed again is the initiative of God. Now,
You can take these words for the Pharisees, for yourselves, for every single one of us. Apart from God's grace, we are like those people. It's kind of like, is there anyone here who's like me sometimes, or rather most of the time, that you order the dessert and eat the dessert first before you eat the meal? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Waiter will come up to you, boss, order ko leche flan, halo-halo, puto ko chinta, karun na. What happens when you start eating the halo-halo before your fried chicken or before your tinolang isda or whatever? You feel stuffed already. Sometimes you don't have the desire for the real meal simply because you feel stuffed with the sweets that you've eaten. Folks, I want you to understand this. Before you became a Christian, we were like that. We were stuffed with the things of the world. That is why we don't desire for God's word. That's why Jesus was saying, my word finds no place in you. And it is basically by God's grace that he initiates relationship with us. Apart from God's grace, we will be always stuffed with things of the world. That's why sometimes before you became a Christian, or for some of you, you're not yet a Christian, sometimes when you read God's word, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes when you read God's word, you find it boring. Sometimes when you read God's word, you feel like, man, you've read just three lines or one verse and you feel like you want to watch a movie already. Why? It's simply because the word of God has no place in us. So the opposite there was that in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says here, God implanted his word. He placed it there. The Greek word for implanted is emphuto. So just like Bisaya, giputos ni Lord, gibutang sa atong kasing-kasing. You folks get it, right? It was implanted in us. Now, I want us to look at the relationship between verse 18 and verse 21 of what we're talking about here in the book of James. Look at this one. In verse 18, it says here, God brought us forth. That is the main idea there. In verse 21, the word was implanted in us, meaning to say it took root in us. Meaning to say God's word in you right now is growing. The similarities between what we're talking about in verse 18 and in verse 21 is that this word that we're talking about is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of his grace, the message of his salvation. Folks, take note of this one. I'm not yet even talking about the rest of the Bible. I'm just talking about your salvation. So because of the message of grace found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the gospel that was preached to us, it brought us forth. And in verse 21, what James was saying is that this word is implanted in us. It's taking root in our lives. That is why the fruit of the Spirit come out of us, because God's word is growing in us. If you go further in verse 21, it says here, which is able to save your soul. It simply means that the word of God that is in us, the gospel that is in us, preserves us, and ultimately it saves us. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says here, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, if you receive the gospel, which you heard from us, you accepted us not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you as believers. Meaning to say, what James was essentially saying here, and Paul, was that if you receive God's word, if you are a recipient of the gospel starts changing our lives. It is at work in us. Guess what, friends? Even for all of us here, you're seated right now, you feel like you're just hearing a preaching. Because of the preaching of God's word here this morning, last Sunday, Pastor Kolob Sunday, you kind of get a picture that you are growing in the faith. I love the thought that when I was talking with some of you, ever since we started this Worldview series, a lot of you bought new Bibles. I've heard some of you, you bought brand new study Bibles. Some of you are digging some Greek, digging some Hebrew, which is a cool thing and which is fascinating. And it grows in us, all the more that God's word grows in us. That's why John Piper says, nothing apart from God himself is more important and powerful than his word. It takes root in us and it grows in us. But take note, friends, we have a responsibility. It says further, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. I don't know if you find this strange. Take note of this one. First is the word implanted. It's placed in us. So having said that, if you come to understand, if you try to look at that logically, you start asking questions like this one. How can you receive if it is already implanted? Because what James was saying here was that you receive God's word, You receive with meekness the implanted word in you. How in the world does that happen? How can you receive if it is already implanted in you? The key word that we have to look at here is the word receive. The word receive here is not just the receive that we're talking about as like you're receiving a ball or something like that. Receive here is a word that is used to describe how you would receive or welcome a feast or welcome a longtime friend. Meaning to say you allow it to take a good hold in your life. I think it's safe for us to say that all of us here, we have our kidneys in us, right? Something kidney. Or you have your heart in you. But you can't tell anyone, I can't tell anyone in physiological term that you receive your implanted heart. My heart has been there ever since I was born. It wasn't implanted in me. Are folks getting this? So the best illustration for that is oxygen. You have oxygen in you, but you receive oxygen. You get that? Meaning to say the gospel, at one point in your life, maybe through one-to-one, or maybe through an evangelist in the campus, or maybe through Billy Graham on TV, someone preached the gospel to you and it got implanted in you. It is already in you, but you have to keep breathing it in. You have to keep what? Receiving it for it to grow. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you're good as dead. So that is basically the illustration that we're having here. So he said a while ago that we're talking about just the gospel. So the gospel is that which is implanted in us. Now, what is the role of the rest of the scripture? Look at this. Receiving the external word, the rest of the scripture, replenishes the power of the implanted word, and the implanted word creates the hunger to receive the external word. So meaning to say, you ought to feed off the rest of the scripture if you want the gospel of grace to grow in your life. So at the end of the day, if you look at oxygen, it's basically how you should treat the Bible. That you're going to basically need it for the rest of your life every single day. Having said that, since all of us here are Christian, I want to bring this out as an encouragement. If you are a Christian, that is, the word has been implanted in you, you can't hold your breath forever. You just can't hold your breath forever. My point in saying that is this one. You cannot live a life without reading God's word. You need to have God's word in you every single day. Don't hold your breath forever, friends. We need God's word. I don't know if you've noticed, we're just looking at one verse here. Then it says here, we are to receive it with meekness. So there's a manner at which we ought to receive the implanted word. And James was very clear, we ought to do that with meekness. Everybody say meekness. So what do you mean when you say meekness? What is it that James was trying to tell us here? When you say meekness, it talks about the readiness to submit. So many people say there has to be a heart of humility whenever you start reading God's word. You have to understand that we ought to be a subordinate before God and we are not on top of God. So that's why James was saying, if you are going to read God's word, make sure your heart is ready to yield. That you have to read it with meekness, meaning that you must be willing to submit. Anyone here who loves going to buffet? You know, sometimes when you go to a buffet restaurant, I don't know with you, you skip on the vegetable, you go straight to the meat, the steak, you go straight to the boneless lechon, you go straight to the dessert, but you skip some other things. What James was essentially saying here is that, friends, you cannot receive God's word partially. You cannot be selective. When you start reading God's word, you cannot be selective. That is what happens to Christians who willfully sin. It is because they try to skip that which God tells them or God uses to correct them or to bring them back to their senses. We cannot be selective. We cannot take God's word partially. If God says that this is the issue, that is the issue. Then he says further, look at this one. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently on his natural face in a mirror. Let me just take this as an illustration for a while. When you have tried rowing or paddling a small banca or a small boat, now, who can say that you're good at that? You're good at rowing. I've tried that when I was younger. Here's the thing. Every time I try to row with the strength of a little kid, I just go in circles. You know what I'm talking about, right? It brings panic to the people in the boat with you. Now, here's the thing. If you're to paddle a boat, a small bangka, you have to row on the right and row on the left so that you will go on a straight line. If our desire is Christ-likeness, then we have to know the Word and do the Word. If we only know the Word, whether you're so good with Hebrew or Greek, you'll just go in circles. If you want to progress in your Christian walk, then here's the simple ingredient to that. Know the Word, do the Word. Know the Word, do the Word. You're in Apo Island already. That's why it says here, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's the problem. We cannot be all theories and no application. Come on now. Who cares if you're a Bible wizard, but you can't apply it in your life? By saying that, I am not dismissing the importance of knowing God's Word. It is very important. That's why I'm telling you, it is knowing the Word and doing the Word. If you keep doing and doing and doing the Word, but you're not reading the Bible, you're doing something else. You might fall into the ravine of religiosity for that matter. There are practical applications that we need to do as Christians. I know of this story of a father. Let's say a loving and good father needed to attend to his work at 7 in the morning. And he has these two kids who are still asleep. So he writes a letter to his kids about house chores. Take note, this is a loving father. This is not a father who's very commanding, who's authoritarian and stuff. He's a loving father. So he writes to his kid, "Dear Ryan and Kini, first and foremost, I want to let you know that I love you both. I love you both so much. You guys are going to grow up to be like your mom." Then he starts writing this letter. And then in the middle part, he tells them, "I want you to do something for me because I'm running late for work. I need you to take the garbage or the trash out for me. Love, your dad." So here's these two kids, Keenan and Ryan, waking up at 6 in the morning. They start reading the letter. Oh, God, he loves us so much. 6 in the evening, daddy comes home. Guess what? There's no trash outside. The trash was still inside. So he gets in, "Kids, did you read the letter that I wrote to you this morning, earlier today?" And Keenan and Ryan comes to that and hugs daddy. "You know what, dad? We've read the letter. It's a great letter that we can imagine how good you are with punctuations. You're so good with using the subject-verb agreement, dad. We didn't know that you're so poetic. You know that while we were reading the letter, we start reading about trash. We tried Googling about trash. And we started understanding the theology of trash. We're looking at how Russia would work on trash, how they view garbage. In fact, we started a website just for trash cans." You have to see. You have to check YouTube, dad. You have to check how Kenny did his vlog regarding garbage. And guess what, dad? We also try to do some research with your old books. We know the Greek and the Hebrew of what garbage is. We've seen the parallelism in the New Testament and Old Testament. Now we understand all of these things. And dad asks you, "Okay, did you throw the trash?" "No." What good is theology? What good is doctrine? What good is you being so good in argument, in debating with your friends, if we are not able to apply it in our life? Know the Word, do the Word. We're talking about two things here. It's us basically knowing the Word and doing the Word. Jesus himself was a good teacher. He was called a rabbi. He teaches well. I can just imagine sitting under the teaching of Jesus Christ, and I feel like the guy is just so proficient in teaching. You know why? Because he's God. He teaches well, but guess what? He wasn't just a teacher. He healed the sick. Open the eyes of the blind. Have himself crucified on the cross. Knowing the Word and doing the Word. "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror." And then after that, it says there, then he departs from the mirror and forgets himself. You know why is that so? During their time, the mirror that we're talking about here are not like your vanity mirrors. This is not like the mirror on your bags. The mirror that we have now wasn't invented yet. So what they have is like a piece of a metal sheet. So they look at themselves in the metal sheet. That's why they look at that. And then sometimes when they leave, they forget how they look like. This is not really a good image of who they were. Get a picture? What James was saying here, sometimes we are like that. We're so superficial when it comes to God's word. That when you depart from the table of your quiet time, you didn't even understand what God was telling you. You were so in a hurry that you didn't dig through what the message of God is for you personally. What was it that God was telling you at that time? Know the word, do the word. Faith is not effectual if it does not produce obedience. Victory Dumaguete is a church who obeys God's word. Can I hear an amen for that? Luke chapter 11, verse 23 says here, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. James, Jesus, James. Same tone. In James chapter 1, verse 20, it says here, if you are only a hearer, what does it mean? You're good with the Bible. Let's say you're not really good with the Bible, but you're here every single Sunday. You read your Bible every day. But you're not a doer of the word. The Bible tells us that we are merely deceiving ourselves. What good is a camouflage uniform? Type A uniform. What good is being so snappy if your mortar won't fly? What good is all the guns, the ammo, the stature, the hat, the rank, the position? What good is the knowledge of the Bible if we do not apply it? How can it fly? How can our life propel to the destiny that God has for us? Know the word, do the word. You know, George Barna, I think some of you know this guy. He does research just like Ed Stetzer. It's quite crazy. I have here just a couple of things that he started finding out in 2006. A study in 2006 says that 39% of Christians think that it's okay to live in with someone without getting married. 39%. The rate of divorce between Christians and non-Christians in 2006 is 27% to 24%. So it's kind of like there's no difference. The sad thing there is that people become so obnoxious because Christians are preachy. Yung mga tinitweet natin, isa buhay natin. The things that we preach, we ought to live it out. Know the word. Yes, we know that you know the word. Are you known for someone who's doing the word, whatever it takes? What are some imperatives that we can find in God's word? We know that it is sinful to look at a woman lustfully, with lustful intent. That's one thing to know the word. Doing the word is not looking at the woman with lustful intent. Come on now. Matthew chapter 28 tells us that God's final command for us is an imperative, a command to go out there and make you disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here we come as a Christian and we say, my personality is INTJ. I'm an introvert. I cannot do that. Why would we allow our personality to get into the way if we are to obey God's commands? Know the word, do the word. If you read further, if you study the book of James, you'd come to understand that he has outlined the marks of false religion, and that is self-deception and forgetfulness. That's why he says a while ago, if you're not a doer of God's word, you deceive yourself. That's what happens to us. That's the mark of a true religion. You deceive yourself. Why? Because you think like you're better than the rest. I don't have to do that. I think I deserve to have front row seat because I'm the first few in victory. I've been a Christian for 15 years now. That's why I am better than the rest. You're self-deceived. The worst thing with deception is you don't know that you're deceived. Friends, listen. The devil is suffering up until this day from self-deception. He's doing all sorts of these crazy things against us and against God because he thinks, ha ha ha, that he's going to win in the end. That's a mark of self-deception. On the onset, he wanted to be like God. That is self-deception. That's why he was thrown out of heaven. And forgetfulness is also like that. Like what was said a while ago, you look at yourself in the mirror and you forget what you look like. You forget the things that you're willing to forget. You forget the things that you're not studying. You forget the things that you're not digging into. Know the word, do the word. What's the result of all of these things? According to James, it says here, a doer who acts will be blessed in his doing. You folks want to be blessed? Anyone here wants to be blessed? There's a blessing in obedience, friends. If you feel like God is telling you to cut off a relationship that does not honor Him, obey God. If you feel like God is telling you to do something, to act on a situation that He presents before you, maybe He wants you to be generous, obey God. Obey God's word. It is the doer of the word that will be blessed in what he does. I'm not saying this as a form of religion, because every spiritual blessing under heaven belongs to us. But guess what, friends? We get to appropriate this through obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, to ask God to bless your life while you disobey is rather absurd. Know the word, do the word. Let me just end this by presenting a couple of questions that may help you every time you read God's word. And we're going to end with this one. Every time you read, okay, not if you read, when you read God's word, which is every day, amen? If you read God's word, try to look at some of these questions. Lord, are there promises in here that I need to claim? As you're reading that, Lord, are there mistakes that they did that I need to avoid so that I don't have to suffer the consequences of their foolishness, that I may learn from them? Lord, are there sins that I need to confess? Are there sins in my life that I need to bring to the open? And perhaps in a church community like Victory Dumaguete, I might need someone to pull them in and tell them, you know what, this is what happened to me. I'm laying this down before you so that you can pray for me. If you look at 1 Kings Church, idolatry resulted from secret sins. So perhaps it's time for us to bring it to the open as you're reading God's word. And I'm most likely sure that God will tell you to allow people to speak into your life, to be teachable, to allow correction. Are there attitudes that I need to adjust? In fact, before this, it talks about different kinds of attitudes. And any one of you here have experiences as you're reading God's word, you're like, man, I did that to that person a while ago. Lord, I'm sorry about this. It gives you a picture that you are birthed again because it's growing in you. In fact, if you don't desire God's word, sometimes it's good to ask the question, has it really been implanted in my life? Are there praises that I need to render before God? You know, those are just some things out of the many. And there are different approaches when you start reading God's word. You observe it as you read that. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is this one. Apply it in your life, not in other people's life. Lord, this command is good for him. This command is good for her. No. Let's talk about yourself first. This is a personal relationship. I'm dealing with you over something. There's something that needs to change there. Amen. Applying God's word in our life. As we end this worldview series, that is basically what we want to encourage everyone to do. Get into God's word. Know God's word. Study God's word. Understand genealogies. Understand its Hebrew meaning. Its Greek meaning. All of those things are very good. But don't forget the other paddle. Lest you want to go in circles. Don't forget to do the word. Know the word. Do the word.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.